You're listening to The Local Maximum, episode 200.
Time to expand your perspective. Welcome to The Local Maximum. Now, here's your host, Max Sklar.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. You have reached another Local Maximum. What are we doing today? Are we going to expand our perspective today, or are we just going to kind of relax and have a meta episode? I'm not so sure. Because come on, I've been doing this for 200 episodes. Let's just kind of
sometimes you gotta be a little introspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Look back on where we came from.
So I don't really know what we're gonna do for the 200th episode, but I thought we discussed it, and I thought that I think this is your idea. We can like try to find some stats on not necessarily like download stats and people, but like kind of superlatives and like kind of a look back on, we've done shows that are like look back on particular episodes, but this is more kind of like Local Maximum by the numbers.
Yeah, I was curious if there were any interesting trends that we could glean from looking through the archive.
Correct. Okay, so yesterday I was at the Yale-Harvard game, just got back from that. The last time that game took place was 2019, so it was 2 years ago. And that was the one where that climate thing, protest, like had it go on for, delayed it for hours, and then it got dark, and then I left, and then it turned out Yale won in overtime. And so this time I stayed till the end. It was cold, but everything was a little more subdued this year, I think.
Did you call into a local radio station to talk about
that?
Yeah,
I did. I did.
I vaguely remember you tipping me off to
that's on my appearances tab on the website, which we'll talk about maybe. No, it was good to see the students. It was good to see the campus. I was really interested to see what campus culture is like in 2021 versus 2019.
What was the breakdown of like students to alumni? Did you feel like an old man there?
Or, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was mostly, not mostly, well, like, yeah, it was mostly undergrads, I think. And not my section, but, you know, in the more crowded. First of all, it was extremely crowded. It was like 50,000 people there, which I think is more than they usually get.
Did they have like a did you need proof of vaccination to get tickets or get in?
No.
They just, well, I guess it was outside too. So
you had to buy tickets. There was an announcement that said, if you're unvaccinated, please wear your mask, but there's no one checking. But then there was also an announcement at the end saying, you know, at the end of the game, please don't rush the field because that happens every year.
Yep.
They'd rush the field anyway.
Of course.
So, yeah. And it kind of looked like, you know, the people rushing the field kind of looked like liquid pouring out of the stadium onto the field. And people were kind of like coming over the barriers and sort of falling off. But you could see, if you look closely, you could see some people were like scared to jump off. I did that 1 year and I was like, ow, that hurt. Someone was like, I think someone said like, oh, I can't do that anymore at my age. Like I'd hurt my knee. And I'm like, no, I don't do it because I did it back then and I did hurt my knee and I don't want to hurt my knee again. actually, I don't even think I jumped from that high. I think I probably jumped from one of the steps. That drop is pretty steep. That's like 6-7 feet.
I have to ask because the last time I went to that game with you when it was at Harvard.
2014.
I think we got, you know, we bought scalped tickets. Were the scalpers out in force or did you buy tickets ahead of time?
No, I didn't. So it's different at Yale than it is at Harvard. At Harvard, it's very difficult to get in. You need scalpers. That might be different now. That was many years ago. Yale's always very easy. You could just go up to the booth and buy a ticket and go right in. And that's always been the case as far as I can remember. So I think the difference is that the Yale Bowl is just much bigger. So that's part of what's going on there. Just in terms of observation, because I like to make observations about the students, and things started to change in the 2010s in terms of student culture and stuff. And I think it's starting to change again. I noticed that because now Gen Z is out in full force, and I noticed that it was much more subdued. It felt like, you know, not a lot of politics out there. And I felt like the barbs and insults being traded back and forth between Yale and Harvard were not as extreme as they often are. And there were like no pranks and stuff like that. So I just felt like, I mean, maybe it's part of like the post-pandemic, like, okay, everyone play it cool. But
and Yale is back to regular on campus everything.
Yeah,
pretty much, right?
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have to wear a mask inside the buildings. Yeah, which I didn't go inside the buildings.
I wonder how much the experience of having gone remote for part of a year and how that's kind of affected the whole, not just their academic experience, but also kind of the student culture and yeah. Maybe made it more subdued. But then again, maybe there's you never know whether it's going to push things in the direction that makes sense or if there's going to be a total backlash to it.
Right, right. Well, it was definitely different from last time. When you had all the strikers and the protesters and whatever, like there wasn't even anyone outside of the thing, and I don't know. That was just an observation. Maybe it's meaningful. Maybe it's not. But that was my observation. That wasn't necessarily the observation I was going in expecting to make. It could have been that it's time for climate strike part two, and that just wasn't. That just wasn't going to happen.
Greta Thunberg was not the guest of honor.
No, I know. John Kerry always goes to these things. And so I've seen him once or twice, but this time
the
I didn't.
The climate czar himself.
Yes. I didn't see him this time, but I passed someone. You know how you hear clips of people conversation and pass someone like, oh my God, I saw John Kerry. So yeah. Yeah, that happened. When we were in school, they were worried about like terrorist attacks, you know, on the place, because it was like, you know, the terrorists just got us and they're trying to get us again and they're probably going to get this. And fortunately, that's never happened. Obviously, it's still a concern. Like, you know, there's still a lot of security. But I noticed that it's so easy. Like, okay, they don't let you take your bag in. But I noticed that it's so easy to like, it would be so easy to slip stuff in there. It'd be so easy to slip things through the cracks in the fence. And it would be so easy to go there the day before when it's open, and there's so many places to like hide things.
That yeah,
it's like,
I mean, this is way off target, but
yeah, or
way off topic, but yeah, hardening a target is difficult.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, so we can move on from this. Let's look at this like by the numbers thing that I have written down here. So first of all, the longest episode. What do you think the longest episode is?
Are we counting double headers or
we're counting double headers as individual episodes?
Okay, so I was gonna say the 9/11 retrospective.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, part two of 9/11 was actually just part two.
Oh wow,
was an hour and 23 minutes.
Feel that long when we were doing it.
Yeah, no, the whole thing was 2 hours. Yeah, a lot to say. The only one longer than that was way back in episode 41 with Miriam when I talked to her about Google, which went on for an hour and 27 minutes. But yeah, that was several years ago. No, the more recent one of 9/11 was a lot. And that we sort of switched gears. It's kind of rare for us to do something longer than an hour in general. But every once in a while, I guess we have to breach an hour. So that's just what happens. Okay, shortest episodes. I like the short episodes, and sometimes we get together, and sometimes when I do a solo show, I tell myself, hey, Max, you only really need to talk for 15 and 20 minutes if it's great content. 15 to 20 minutes of great content is a great show. It turns out the shortest episode is, I don't even know if I should have you guess, of the three that I have listed, one of them is two of them are solo shows, and one of them, the shortest one, is with us.
Oh.
So, yes.
We did a short episode?
We did a short episode. Well, do two-parters count is the question. So this was episode one of the first episodes
we did. Not to be confused with episode zero.
Right. So that was, we recorded them together and then broke them up, and then I went to Cuba, and then that was on Bayesian inference back 4 years ago almost already. So we did that, and that part of it was only 25 minutes. And back then, I didn't really know how to cut them up that well. I was kind of obsessive with the editing. Like, I went through, and I edited out every and ah. And, well, first of all, we don't do as many. There are some, but, like, we are better at speaking now, actually, I think, because back
then. I certainly hope so. I haven't been on all 200 episodes, but with 200 episodes worth of practice.
Yes.
You'd think we get better at some things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're better at that, but also I realize I don't need to have to edit out every little thing. And
well, that is the classic podcaster's dilemma. Is that it takes you a while to hit your stride and to, you know, figure out all the audio quality stuff, but also to stop caring about every little nitpick.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like radio. And say, and I'm going to talk later about the difference between podcasting and radio from what I've learned. So we'll get to that in a minute. Other short episodes, episode 67 on was one of my solo shows on China. I'm surprised I don't have other shorter solo shows. Some of those are kind of tough to do all the research and fit it in. But yeah, that's 27. The only other one that's less than 31 minutes is a 30-minute episode recently, which is a solo show I did in like layers and truth seeking. So it was like my kind of thing about academic freedom, having open conversations online. And then I added a section on set theory at the end of it. So I had a lot of things to talk about in that episode, but I fit it all in 30 minutes. Yeah, I fit it all in 30 minutes. That was very jam-packed. Now, which ones do you prefer, the shorter episodes or the longer ones?
Well, it depends. Are we recording or listening? I like to listen to a short episode, but as you've alluded to, we have difficulty recording a short episode.
That's true.
It's I think it was Mark Twain who had a quote, something to the effect of, I wanted to write you a short letter, but I didn't have time, so I'm sending you a long one instead.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's I feel like it's better for the audience sometimes to have short episodes, but sometimes the longer episodes can be more entertaining. Like sometimes if I'm going for a walk or something and I put on a podcaster, you know, I want that to go on for an hour because I want it to last. I want them to keep me company for the whole thing. I feel like I do want, you know, this particular episode will be of interest to Local Maximum fans. So maybe it's not as jam-packed with information as some of the other ones.
Do we have a nickname for the fans of the show?
No, we don't. we'll let them. Yes, if you go to maximum.locals.com, please make suggestions. I don't want to name the fans myself. We shouldn't do it ourselves.
It's like you can't give yourself your own nickname.
Yeah.
It won't stick.
Okay, so one interesting thing when looking at the graph of lengths, it has not changed considerably since the beginning. Obviously, that episode one was a little shorter than usual, but if you look at it, it's just a total scatter plot. The average length is about 48 minutes, and it looks like, yeah, and I'm not sure, like, within that scatter plot what the distribution is above and below. I should probably try to fit a probability distribution because I'm sure it's not a pure normal distribution around 48 minutes. I'm sure there's some kind of tail. Well, no, I'm almost certain it has to be kind of a little bit long tailed on the plus side because, you know, we've done 30 minutes longer than 48 minutes, but we rarely do 30 minutes less. We haven't done 30 minutes less than 48 minutes. So it would have to be some kind of, maybe some kind of log normal distribution or some kind of gamma distribution, if you will, for those of you who are distribution fanatics, and I love your distribution fanatics out there. Distributions are great, but it could be for those of you who know distributions, log normal and gamma are kind of some of my go-to. What do you think?
I don't dive into that realm too deeply.
You know what? I am going to set up a Bayesian model, and I'm going to look at the distribution. I'm going to try to fit a curve to the distribution.
If I were trying to guess, length, I would say that we frequently try to hit the 1 hour mark, and that's a good goalpost because we feel like, you know, if that's definitely enough show.
There are a lot that were about an hour.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of that was us intentionally planning for it, or that just feels about right, and we've usually said what we want to have said at that point.
Right. Now I should mention one other thing. And I don't know what the meaning of this is when looking at the lengths of the episodes, but episode 158, which is the Live Free or Die episode when I moved here to New Hampshire. By the way, how do you like this new New Hampshire map? That's kind of is that kind of like Lord of the Rings ish or
It's definitely got a J.R.R. Tolkien Hobbit style to it.
The New Hampshire. Yeah. There was an online ad trying to get me to buy this for like, you know, 6 months. And I finally succumbed to the online ad because I was like, it could work in here. So anyway, that episode, Live Free or Die, and then episode 159 on, you know, monetary economics, on Gresham's Law, two episodes back to back have the exact same running time, 38 minutes, 53 seconds. I don't know what the odds are on that.
The Kabbalistic significance of
that. Maybe. it's very strange that happened. I was like, are there any two episodes that have the exact same running time? And it turns out, yes, there are, and they're two back-to-back episodes. So I don't know how we did it, but somehow we did. Among our 200 episodes, particularly recently, we have a bunch of double headers that I should mention. Most recently, we did two double headers where not only was it a double header episode, but we actually started releasing it twice per week. And that's kind of fun to do. Fortunately, I had the time to do it. It's not something I want to do every week. So the first one we did was on the fourth turning. Very, very interesting. I found that to be one of the most interesting topics of the year. And in fact, last year we even talked about the fourth turning a little bit in the episode on the financial tsunami on the horizon. I don't know if you remember that episode. Yep. People really like that episode. I have another listen to that. That's one that's actually very valuable to go back to listen to it, because I think that it's when you talk about what disruptions to our monetary system could mean, people really want to know about that. And that episode always comes up on the list. So the fourth turning episodes, 172, 173, and the other one was the 9/11 episodes, 188, 189. Other double headers we've done far in the past was, you know, I did have one double header interview with Anthony Aguirre. That was episode 84, 85. But that was not twice in a week. That was over 2 weeks. And we got a lot of mileage out of that one. So the first one I got to geek out on physics and cosmology and, you know, talk about the nature of space. And then the second one, we introduced Metaculous, which we still use. By the way, how are you doing on Metaculous?
I got some points for the resolution of the Rittenhouse verdict.
Yes, so did I. I didn't even remember that I put it in. I think
there was a slow burn a quick burn question that opened up maybe a week or two ago. Because there was a longer term one that had closed like months back.
I probably put this in a year ago.
Yeah.
It was, will Kyle Rittenhouse be found guilty? I put a very low probability and I think I got like 100 points or something. So yeah. Obviously introducing Metaculous was a great thing for the podcast. We're still talking about it.
Yeah. I need to do more with that to fine tune my, it says that I'm not at all, overconfident, but I think that might be because I'm underconfident in my calibration.
Okay. Well, yeah. And then another doubleheader, I think we remember, is episode 0 and 1 again. And we've done a few where we've chopped it up, but those are not
back
necessarily
in the golden days of the Hawaiian Missile Crisis.
Yeah. The Hawaiian Missile Scare, not the Hawaiian Missile Crisis. It wasn't the Russians. Anyway. All right. So, let's go into the breakdown of the formats. I have done 79 interviews, and that was all me interviewing people pretty much all one-on-one. 79 interviews, that's quite a bit. That's quite an email list there, because it's a pretty impressive email list.
Well, and some of those have been repeat customers, right?
Yes, yeah. So maybe there'll be like 75 individuals.
Yeah, because I know you've had... and I'm completely blanking on his name. Dennis from Foursquare, you've had on twice, maybe three times?
Dennis, I've had multiple times. Miriam, I've had multiple times. Who is the person from Learn Bayesian Statistics? Alex Andora on twice. I had Daniel Kronovit on twice at the beginning. I've had a bunch of people on twice. Rob Bernstein on twice. Yeah, I've had a bunch of people on twice. So I should have listed that. I feel like I listed most of them off the top of my head, but I'm sure I could be missing someone. So anyway, yeah, 79 interviews. You and I have done 74 co-hosted shows. There might be a few that where there was a fill-in host, but for the most part, you know, you've done at least 70 shows.
Yep.
So That's a lot. Think about that. And I don't know how many hours that is if you add that together. I didn't do that. But it's probably, well, if you use the average of 48 minutes, and I think the average for the co-hosted shows, I suspect, might be a little bit higher.
Perhaps. Yeah.
So let's say it's 50 minutes. Let's do 50 times 74, shall we? 50 times 74. I'm just doing it right off the bat. That is 62 hours.
That's substantial.
That's a lot. You've been sitting here.
Well, what is it? Are there 168 hours in a week?
Yeah.
If you don't sleep or do anything else.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can listen to us talk for a real long time if you're interested. 40 solo shows. Great. And then there are some formats that I only logged very few times. You've had four panels. And so I think that is most of the tech retreats.
I was going to say, was there anything other than the tech retreat?
Yes. I think that the other panels that I did, let me actually pull that up. If I could look at, if I go to the website, I go browse.
Because we've definitely done that, I want to say at least three times. I know yeah. We recorded it definitely two. I think there was a third. Yeah, because
yes.
We did two in person and then one remote.
Right. Oh, and then I had another panel on ideas and inspiration from gaming, which was Dennis Crowley and Craig Lorenzen. So that was a fun one as well.
I'd forgotten that was a panel. Yeah. I knew Craig was on for that.
Yeah. We had two recorded talks that I've done. One was at Yale back in 2018. Another one was more recently on probability. And one call-in show. And that reminds me, that was right before we started Locals. We should probably do another call-in show and kind of ask people on Locals if they want to do a call-in. So basically what a call-in is if you have some topic that you're interested in, or if you have a perspective on the topic that we brought up on the show, just let me know, maximum.locals.com, or you could email localmaxradio@gmail.com, and I can record a 5-10 minute phone call with you, kind of like a call-in on the radio, but it's a little bit less stressful than a call-in on the radio, because I'll edit it, and you don't have to worry too much about being nervous. You could do multiple takes or whatever, but most people only need one take. It's kind of just like talking on the phone. So, and then you kind of put them together into a show. And,
yeah. Well, and on that same note, we've talked a little bit about maybe getting more listener feedback onto the show. So if you're not comfortable coming on and recording, if you've got feedback you want us to read on the show as well, let us know through all those same channels.
Yes.
So we're always interested in continuing the conversation. It's not a closed book when we finish an episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, this show is all about like just being a forum for ideas. I mean, this is the least... We have some really, really good information on this show, but I feel like this is, you come on this show, you talk about things, you talk things through, and then you could write about it, and then you write a blog post. Then you can come and talk about it more, but it's kind of a forum for developing ideas.
Right.
So much.
Yeah, we're trying to do some sense making here.
Right.
Not just preach.
Right. Okay. So largest categories. Ready? The largest single category is, this is not a surprise, machine learning. Well,
before we go on, you mentioned that there were a couple of there was it two lectures, two talks?
Yes.
Wasn't there also like a comedy routine?
Oh, yes.
I don't know what that would have been categorized as.
So that was categorized, right. So that was the last time I did the Four Square holiday party. And I recorded like 7 minutes of a podcast episode there. But that was just the beginning, first 7 minutes of the show.
That was just a segment.
So okay. That was a segment of a co-hosted show. But yes.
You don't have a full 45 minutes comedy routine. You're not ready for your HBO special.
No, definitely not. And it wasn't, was it a comedy routine? I guess it was. It was funny.
You were playing to the crowd.
I was playing to it was a very easy crowd to play with. They were not a very tough crowd, I would say, over there. I don't know. Maybe Foursquare today would be a tougher crowd, because I don't really know who they are and they don't really know who I am. But, that's a whole other issue. Okay. Largest categories. Here's what you're going to learn on Local Maximum. Machine learning, 46 episodes. And machine learning, 45 episodes on emerging. And by the way, I'm not the best at logging the topics on the website. So this is where this comes from. So it's not quite accurate. There are probably more, but 46 in machine learning, 45 on emerging technology, 44 on Bitcoin and crypto, 41 on content moderation and censorship, which is, that's a big issue these days. Bayesian inference, 37. Economics, 22. Podcasting in general, 22. I wonder if this episode would be on podcasting in general. I think so.
I count it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot this number. Politics, 38. Product, 25. Okay. So, yeah. Well,
so what you're saying is you need to build a machine learning algorithm to improve the tagging.
Well, how would I do that? I mean, maybe I can predict the tagging from the transcript. What do you think about that?
I would imagine that's where you'd start. Yeah, if you have the transcripts available.
Oh, that sounds like a big project, though. I don't know. But no, actually an interesting project. Nonetheless, maybe create new tags. Yeah, I'd have the transcripts available for some of them.
Get not some all sentiment them. Analysis on our episodes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There are some interesting categories that have lesser numbers, and I just want to point out some of the ones that I enjoy talking about. One was social choice. I have like a few on that. And so that is more like, you know, New York City's using ranked choice voting. What do we think about that? And then some more theoretical stuff about the different voting systems, which that was a lot of fun for me to go through because I learned a lot about the different voting systems. You know, I learned that not only is there a Condorcet method for picking a candidate, but there's also like a Condorcet method for picking an entire parliament or Congress, to use proportional representation. So there's a lot of interesting things that can be done there. But then also to kind of dive into the fact that, you know, real elections are often different than the mathematical models of them. And so, just because you think you found the perfect election system, there's a lot of things that you have to consider outside the voting system available, such as, okay, how many candidates should there be to do research on for the average voter? Well, that's, you can't really come up with an answer to that by using like pure mathematics. That's not a mathematical question.
Makes me think of the California recall system and right. How so many people are saying that they need to fix the recall system, that it's yes. A mess.
Fix the recall system that's used once every 20 years. Logic is another one that I talk about sometimes, causality. Another big one is augmented reality and audio as well. So that's a big issue.
Yeah, that's a recurring topic.
That it is a recurring topic.
Quite a few times.
But it's 2021 going into 2022 and hasn't really happened yet. Well, audio has, sure. But augmented reality,
daily life, but
yeah.
But I feel like there's lots of talk surrounding it.
All right. Well, we'll continue to talk about it then. Will be part of that talk, and hopefully something will come of it, or maybe somebody will get an idea of something to build by listening to this show, perhaps. And interestingly enough, the category, and so audio is a category, because when you do a podcast, you learn about audio. I love the audio medium, and because I was working on Marsbot Audio, and because, you know, audio is such a great platform, and it's sort of the emerging augmented reality, minus the visual in some sense. I feel like there's been a lot more progress on that from a consumer point of view for the last 4 years, certainly than augmented reality.
In terms of augmented reality, the visual and the audio are easily within grasp. The other senses are going to be a much heavier lift at this point.
Right.
Without some major infrastructure is the wrong term, but some major technological breakthroughs.
Right. So finally, and interestingly enough, there are two episodes marked Vikings in terms of category. I don't know where we got that from, but apparently Vikings are popular these days. Okay. So let's go on to the website, shall we? What search terms bring people to the Local Maximum website? It turns out that far and far and away, but by like several orders of magnitude, the search term that brings people into the Local Maximum website, localmaxradio@gmail.com, is the term...
No, that's the email address.
Oh my God. You got me. You're right. localmaxradio.com. The top search term is probability simplex.
which we have not had an episode on.
No, maybe we should. I'm thinking of doing like a lecture on probability simplex since people want to know about them. I think the reason is, so I have a questions part of the website, which every once in a while I write an article that's like a question, what is a probability simplex? And I'll fill it in. And most of these questions have a few people searching for it, like what is a mathematical space? What is underfitting? What is overfitting? Stuff that we cover on the show. But, and you know, those are pretty good for SEO. Sometimes people looking for that information comes in. But for some reason, there are way more people looking for information on probability simplex and way less content on it that people move up. By the way, what is a probability simplex for anyone who wants to know? It's basically a, how do I describe it? It's a space of probabilities of multiple objects. So if you have like four objects and you have basically four numbers that add up to one, that are four objects, four events, maybe four possibilities, let's say four possibilities, you want to assign them probabilities. And so you have four numbers that add up to one. That space is a four-dimensional probability simplex. And the best way to visualize it is if you have like a three-dimensional probability simplex, it's really a triangle with each point being one of the things being certain. And then every kind of probability mix between the three fits somewhere on the triangle. So probability simplexes are, they seem simple, but there's a lot to say about them. And there's a lot that you can, where like probability intersects with geometry and intersects with like, you know, talking about Euclidean space and all that. So it's kind of an interesting topic. Yeah, check it out on the website. What is the probability simplex? If you want to see what is all the rage these days.
Yeah, we may have to get a whiteboard session up for that in the future.
Yeah, there are other question pages. Yeah, I should probably fill out more question pages because I feel like at some point I'm going to hit on another probability simplex and I'll get more people on the website. So, all right, this is a stat where it's like, we've really got to up this because how many people are members of the local? maximum.locals.com, 98. We just need two more to break 100. And all you have to do is go up there and sign up. You don't have to pay. At first, some people pay. But
I'm getting flashbacks to public television pledge drives right now.
Yeah. Well, 98, how can you leave it at 90? I could probably find two relatives and drag them out of their home and get me to get them to log in. Okay, so we also counted other shows that I've been on, which I've kind of slowed down in recent, in the last year. Maybe I'll start again. Turns out I've been on 20. Now, one thing that's interesting about those is, so I've gone on other people's podcasts and many of them get deleted pretty quickly after. Not that they delete me for me. Like they're like, oh my God, this is terrible. Let me delete the whole thing.
You've been canceled.
Yeah. No, it's more like, people do the podcast I go on, which I'm happy to do. If anyone out there has a podcast, I mean, maybe there's a breaking point where for some reason I wouldn't go on a podcast, but I'm having trouble thinking of one. So I don't go looking to go on podcasts, but if I'm invited on the podcast, I'm pretty sure I'll do it, especially if you're listening to this episode. So if anyone has a podcast on there, let me know. But I think what happens is people don't stick with it. But what's weird with me is why do they then delete it? Why don't they just keep it up forever?
Yeah, so, well, I mean, not everyone's going to make it to 200 episodes.
No.
But also, not everyone is like you, where a project like Sticky Maps that you developed in what year?
2005 to 2008.
Yeah, that you're still, you know, hosting and maintaining. Well, you're not developing it actively.
That's on its last legs. So I might have to take that down soon because it barely works and it requires updates to Google Maps. And I've kind of had enough of it. I might have to figure out a way to archive it.
It's an interesting reminder that people say, you know, well, once it's on the internet, it's forever. Which
turns out to be not true.
Some of the stuff you could probably find it if you went and really searched for it. But
right.
But yeah, just because it's on the internet doesn't mean it's going to be easy to find forever.
Right, right. No, and some of those like those like Ajax things with Sticky Map where like you know, I'm using the Google Maps API. That is most definitely not forever because it will fail and links start to become broken links.
It's not exactly bit rot, but it's related.
Well, yeah. I mean, one example is the $1 million page back in like 2006, someone, or maybe earlier, someone sold every pixel, 1,000 by 1,000 for $1, $1 million. And they link wherever the purchaser links it. Most of them are dead.
Yeah.
Most of them are dead links. So things on the internet don't stay around forever. It's kind of sad. The first podcast I've ever been on deleted, never. And that was, I hosted a game show on that podcast. That was the Foursquare on the Pin podcast. I guess it's if you have a corporate podcast that's discontinued, they delete it. But it's kind of sad that there's no like archive somewhere where like the Internet Archive, where somebody archives all the podcasts.
And I don't know how aggressively they do audio. I'm sure they have an audio section, but I don't know how much of that is automated and crawling versus has to be kind of manually archived.
Right. So recently we've decided doing video. So we looked at the videos as well. And I put them on Odyssey and I put them on YouTube. Now we did do some videos earlier.
I was going to say, recently we've changed how we do video.
Right.
But we were doing video in the
studio. And then sometimes I still do Zoom. In the early days we did, what was it? YouTube Live. That was a mess.
We did that a couple of times. or did it tie in with Google Hangouts or
sometimes.
We were figuring things out back in the day.
But it's cool to see my apartment in Brooklyn over there. So I was looking at what are my most popular videos, and it's different on Odyssey than it is on YouTube. So on Odyssey, this makes a lot of sense that the most popular video on Odyssey is Jeremy Kaufman, who is the founder of Odyssey. And
literal founder effects.
Yes. And on YouTube, we've got the most views on Fourth Turning Part 1. So, again, I think that kind of makes sense. I wonder if people see the brick background and they look, this is cool, they're going to click more likely. I've thought with the studio, this is a little bit pie in the sky. This might not happen for a while. But as we fill out this wall over here, you really only see me and you see you and there are two close-ups. I feel like there should be a camera in the back of the room on the back wall there to see the whole thing and get the long shot.
Well, right. Yeah, we want to get the wide shot and then the camera one, camera two. But we're working our way up to that.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, most downloaded episode still remains Classic Computer Science with David Kopeck, which I believe is 98. Let me actually, why don't I pull that up? I'm not even prepared to pull that up. And so, you know, why is it that one? It's because... let me just look all time most downloaded. Right. And I think it's linked to a class somewhere. I think it's hard because it's like, I look at where people are linking to it from and it's some like online portal where I can't log in and see where it's used. So it looks like it's some online course that people are using. And the other episodes are, you know, Bayesian thinking, you know, Bayesian inference with Sophie Carr, Bayesian inference with Alex Andora. So a lot of the Bayesian ones actually get a lot of downloads.
And those are particularly evergreen.
Right. Bob Murphy on definition of probability, human action. So yeah, a lot of that's the top five. So the top one is computer science, and the next four are all Bayesian statistics related. So that's and a lot of the next ones too. So that's very interesting. Those are evergreen and very popular content. A lot of people want to know about statistical inference a lot more than I thought, because there's a lot more episodes that are more, you know, that would be more broadly entertaining. But it seems like that's what people want. So that's good. Okay. So interestingly enough, you might think that the oldest recorded episode I have is episode zero here. But I was on Yale Radio for 2.5 years from 2004 to 2006.
Some deep cuts.
Yeah, those are some deep cuts. So I recently went back and listened to them. I listened to episode 10, that I recorded in 2004. One of the hilarious things about listening to those episodes on Yale Radio is, first of all, like I'm 20 years old and I listen to myself and I see myself as a kid there. But like The other 20-year-olds in the room who go to Yale, they sound like they're 45, which is kind of scary. And, you know, it's a very different medium from podcasting. So first of all, we were quick. You know, we had to be quick. We had to jump in with hot takes. And every 6-7 minutes, we went to a break and then came right back. And, you know, there'd be, like, we'd keep it moving. It would basically be designed for people getting in and out of their cars. Mm. And so, but, you know, sometimes we had guests and sometimes we had, you know, callers and things like that. But it was all kind of like, you didn't have the room to do as much of a research deep dive as you do now. Like, I would just read articles on the air and then give my hot take on it as I went. Yeah, which is fine for as it goes. It's actually very entertaining. Well, it's a lot more entertaining than I thought.
I obviously there were recordings because you were able to go back and listen to them. But
plenty of them.
But at the time, were those, would those have been publicly available? Because radio feels much more ephemeral. You know, it broadcasts, it goes out into the airwaves and it's gone.
Right, right. So back then, for some reason, like, I had assumed that whatever was going on the, whatever was being broadcast on the air, like, you know, so it was being broadcast on the air to New Haven, you know, you could get it all the way to Fairfield, Connecticut, and even some parts in Long Island.
Were they already streaming as well at that point?
Yes, that's what I was saying. They were always streaming everywhere on the internet, so you can get it anywhere. I always assumed that whatever we said on the air, someone somewhere was going to be recording it, because that's how I thought that the internet worked. it turns out that not really, you know, it's very unlikely to have someone recording them. So I recorded most of them. I have some of them I only have on actual tape cassettes. So I'd have to digitize those. Some of them I recorded the stream, but, you know, then when my computer got corrupted, I lost it. But most of them I have. And so we go back to them and see I also listened to episode 52, which is the one where I predicted that Pluto would lose its status as a planet. And of course I was right. That was my first big hit. So, not that I was for it, but that I predicted it. I think I was saying, I gotta say it. That's what it's going to happen. It's just interesting to note the effect that podcasting has had on the public discourse in the world, because I feel like the types of things people discuss on podcasts, not just me on podcasts versus me on the radio, I think it's in general, like popular podcasts versus popular radio, very different things. And I think even radio shows are different now than they were 15 years ago. I feel like radio shows are adopting a more long-form podcast style versus, you know, 90s, 2000s, where you had kind of sort of, they wouldn't all be like Morning Zoo, like just crazy off the wall, you know, attention deficit disorder, type shows, but they'd be a lot more, it almost feels like that's the only thing going in reverse, where attention spans are getting longer, which I find very interesting.
There's, you see a little bit of that with reporting, where, you know, there's kind of a long reads movement.
Right.
With, you know, not necessarily isolated to Substack, but it definitely feels like that's one place where you tend to find that kind of thing. But it's hard to put too much weight on that, because the vast majority of journalism is much more in the kind of soundbite sized.
Sure. But I feel like it's not, the interesting stuff is happening in the long form.
Yeah.
Which is, which almost feels like we're coming out the other end of the, we're coming out the other end of something. I don't know what it is, but people are craving more long form and something that's a little less, I don't know if I'm using the right word, something a little less manic, something a little less, you know, jumping from place to place.
I like long form reads, but I wish there were a faster, easier way to get them into my brain, because the reading is actually, it takes effort, and I'm inherently lazy.
So. Well, nobody likes a wall of text either. So those are the points I wanted to make. Some just a little bit of local maximum by the numbers here. If you want to help me increase my numbers, go to maximum.locals.com. But also, you're not just going to be helping me increase your numbers. You get access to the whole community there. And you ask us a question. I'm on there. Aaron's on there. We answer. We respond. You listen. You talk to connect with other listeners. And people say it's well worth it. What's next?
Before we get to that, you mentioned earlier, we talked about what were the search terms that were bringing people to the website.
Right.
I'm curious to hear from the listeners. How did you find the Local Maximum?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Did you hear Max on another podcast? Did you hear word of mouth from a real life in person human being? Did you show up on the website searching for probability simplexes?
Interesting.
Because I'm very curious, kind of what our cross section of our listeners, how they discovered us.
Could be one of those people I signed up in person that met me in person. I used to do that when I first started the show. I would go to meetups and I would.
There
I would
is talk a mysterious to, mailing list, yeah. which I don't know that you've used it for anything yet.
I used it once. I dread the task of writing a newsletter. I do not want to write a newsletter.
And yet you have put out 200 episodes of a podcast.
Yes, but I can't send out.
How much harder could a newsletter be?
You know,
I'm just ragging on you.
No, you're right, but it's just like I don't know. I don't know why. This is why I couldn't do blogging. Like I tried to start a blog in 2015, and I couldn't keep up with it. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll try a podcast, but will the same thing happen with the blog where I can't be? No, it turns out I do podcast every week just fine. But it's the sitting down and writing that I have trouble. Does anyone else experience this? I don't know, but it's that's how I feel. I should sit down and write. I also don't know what I would write. Like, how would I, like, I want to convey, hey, I want to start this community on maximum.locals.com, but, you know, nobody wants to get an email saying, hey, just click this link and go. And it's got to be good. It's got to be good. So I'll work on it. But and we'll also have some maybe special content on there for people coming in from the email if we ever do that.
Sorry, I interrupted you. You were about to tell us what's coming up next. What's in the near future?
No, that's it. That's last. We have a few things coming up in the future. First of all, I recently interviewed Andrew Gelman, and he's a professor at Columbia, one of the most notable figures in Bayesian inference today. And so I talked to him about research. I talked to him about some of his political statistics, which people always like how do you get people to vote? Why do people change their vote? And what are some of the, what are some of the more stupid articles that come out about, people voting. So we talked about that.
It's only going to become a more contentious topic as we move into the next year and a half.
Well, this is a non-election year, so we don't really have to talk about that.
Well, not for very long.
Yeah. Well, there was an election this year, but it's kind of an off year.
Right.
Right. In like 6 months, there's always an election going on somewhere. I think is the point. Okay, so I've been looking into, just like we looked into topology last year, this year I'm looking into measure theory a little bit more. I reviewed an article about Kolmogorov's axioms on probability spaces, which is something that I'm interested in. And also, like, the question of where do those fail? Like, maybe the way mathematicians think about probability is not broad enough or not open enough. And so I found that to be really interesting. And so I sort of ran into the idea of the fair countable lottery, which I think is a really interesting example. It's like, I'm picking a number, but I'm not, each number is equally likely. And it turns out with that assumption, I think it's a possible assumption to make and maybe a reasonable assumption. But on the other hand, it's mathematically weird and breaks some rules. And also maybe it's not a reasonable assumption because for any real world activity, small numbers at some point are going to be more likely than big numbers. I mean, maybe you could say, oh, here's something where bigger numbers are more likely than smaller numbers. Yeah, just make it a little bigger and multiply it by itself and it'll start going down a little bit. So Yeah, that's an interesting take. I don't want to get into the math mechanicals just yet. And I'm trying to figure out how to approach this on the podcast format, but maybe we could start doing some lecture formats where it's not part of the podcast, but I can do some extra videos up at the whiteboard, which no one's ever seen. There's no proof I have a whiteboard, but I do, and maybe we could do some lectures up there. Another topic is there's this academic paper that I am very close to publishing. I just have a few people who have offered to suggest edits, so I'm waiting for those to come in. But it's on how to correct for a bias sample. If you know the way it was sampled, people ask, well, why don't I do it if I don't know the way it was sampled? Turns out you really can't do that. that's not possible. Although it is possible if you have some extra information, maybe. And so it depends on the problem. But anyway, I'm talking about something a little simpler that I think is kind of, we used it at Foursquare and it's kind of missing from most Bayesian inference textbooks, which is like, okay, I have a bias sample. How do I correct for that? Seems like a very common thing, a very useful thing. Come up with a very simple and useful formula and a good argument for why to use that formula. And so I thought I'd write about it. And so that's coming up soon.
And that'll almost certainly be released before the end of the year? Fingers crossed?
Yeah, I mean, right now, like, I feel like the paper's good enough. It's just like, how much do I want to do, like, you know, one more revision. I feel like I just have to.
We're in the home stretch.
Yeah, we're certainly in the home stretch. So, all right. Very exciting things coming up on the Local Maximum. That's been the 200th episode. 200, that's a lot. I mean, I remember at the beginning when I only wanted to do 10 and see if that was possible. And now it's kind of a routine. So that's pretty great. And for you, Aaron,
it's been habit forming.
Doing how many episodes have you done?
Like 70 something maybe.
Yeah. That's an insane number of episodes. And so, congratulations to you on that.
I forgot to mention
that's when more you were going episodes than I did at Yale. I did 64 at Yale. Yeah.
When you were going through the breakdown of the different episode formats, I forgot to ask, has there been an episode that you have not been on?
No.
So we've got something to try and figure out for the future.
When are you going to record your solo show?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we could have a maxless Local Maximum at some point.
Yeah. Well, I would look forward to an Aaron solo show, and
no pressure.
I hope. Yeah. It's tough. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. It's tough. You're going to sit there with your microphone and you're going to be like, well, what do I say? And I can give you some advice, which is just turn on the microphone and just start talking and see what comes out. And, there's a part where you're like afraid to turn it on, but then the way to get over that mentally is just like, well, first of all, the easy way to get over mentally is like, this is editable, so don't worry about it. But I've done solo shows where it's not like a show like this where I've literally been talking and then I have a 30-second pause because I just don't know what to say, and then I edit that out. So that happens sometimes. There were some solo shows when I was at Yale on the radio. I had some solo radio appearances. And that was, I guess that was a little different because I could go to break whenever I wanted. Mm. And I had tons of reading material. But I feel like I have more brain material now. So but you want the episode to be coherent, which is not always easy. I think the last one I did, I'm kind of happy the way it came out, the episode 199 on... bringing the past alive with AI. I had kind of seen the technology a little bit over the last couple of years, but then when I did that research the last day and sort of looked at some of the tools available, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And we talked about it and it was great. So what are you going to talk about for your solo show?
Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
Do you have any ideas, any inklings?
You put me on the spot. No, I don't have anything good locked and loaded yet.
We'll wait until you're doing your solo show. All right. Well, you asked about the Maxwell's episode. I wonder if we could do one that's like just a guest or a... Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's hard to do. Yeah, I think if we had, you know what you could do is if you did an interview without me, that seems a little bit, maybe easier. Maybe find someone at work or something.
Yeah, we could maybe ease into it with something like that. We'll see. We'll okay. see. We're doing our pre-production on the air here.
Okay, well, here's what I suggest for the listeners. Go to maximum.locals.com and message Aaron and tell him he's got to do his solo show. Okay. Have a great week, everyone.
That's the show. To support the Local Maximum, sign up for exclusive content and our online community at maximum.locals.com. The Local Maximum is available wherever podcasts are found. If you want to keep up, remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Also, check out the website with show notes and additional materials at localmaxradio.com. If you want to contact me, the host, send an email to localmaxradio@gmail.com. Have a great week.
Feel the power.